Revelation chapter 9. Revelation chapter 9. We'll read it through. Verses 1 to 12, we have the fifth angel. And verses 13 to 21, we have the sixth angel. So that's a pretty easy division, the fifth angel and the sixth angel. Warren Wiersbe called those divisions the army from the pit, and 1 to 12, and the army from the east, verses 13 to 21. It's always good to sort of have a roadmap to see which way you're going. So we'll start reading in verse 1. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And unto him was given the key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there rose smoke out of the pit, and as the smoke of the great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit, and there come out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. Did you notice that? The locusts are animals that would actually consume the green vegetation, and they're commanded not to. They're actually told to harm the men. So that's very different there. Pay attention to the reading. And it was commanded that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion which strikes a man. In those days shall a man seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads as it were crowns of gold, and their faces as the faces of men, and they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, and the breastplates were of iron, and the sound of their wings were the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like to scorpions, and they had stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue has his name Apollyon. One woe was past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. Verse 13 to 21, we have the armies from the east, the army from the east. The sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the horns of the golden altar which is before God, saying, the sixth angel which has the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates, and the four angels were loosed, which was prepared for an hour, a day, and a month, and a year, for to slay a third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000, or that number is 200 million, if you want to do the math. And they heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses of the vision, and men that sat on them, having breastplates of fire, of jacinth, of brimstone, and their heads and the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. But by these three was one third part of men killed, by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails were like unto serpents, and they had heads, with them do they hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of their works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, neither which can see nor hear nor walk, neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. I don't know if you remember a guy by the name of Lehman Strauss when I was a young believer. 45 years ago, Lehman Strauss was on the radio in Vancouver every day, and we used to listen to him when we were driving to work. He divided up the chapter like this, verse 1, the unnamed personality. We see the star that falls from heaven onto the earth. And then verse 2, we have the unveiled pit. And we see the pit as what is coming out is called the abyss. It's called the bottomless pit. Verses 3 to 6, the unprecedented punishment. So punishment like we've never heard of before. The unscrupulous prince in verses 7 to 12, which is the king that is over these scorpions. Verse 13, the unloosed persons. These are the ones who were tied up in the Euphrates River and were let loose. And then 16 to 19, the unrestrained power, the wickedness of men. 20 and 21, unrepentant people. So we'll start in verse 1. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven onto the earth, and unto him was given the key of the bottomless pit. So I want to start with that expression, bottomless pit, because it keeps on repeating itself various times. It's interesting, the modern translations will give the word abyss. And you say, well, what does abyss mean? Well, if you look it up in the Greek, it means bottomless pit. So why do modern translations change simple words? It's actually two words in the Greek. The first one is bottomless, and the second one was pit. So anyway, we have that expression. That expression occurs various times in our Bible. So first of all, I want to think of this first section relating to a verse in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. It says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, can't even read my own writing here. Have to take off my glasses. Come on there, Leonard. Help me out there. Ephesians 6 and 10. Against principalities, powers, against rulers of darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Thank you. Oh, the old memory's going a little bit. Thank you. That was the problem. There was no light. So this is the first of the last three woe trumpets. We talk about the angels, but really the power we see here, the power is what's really magnified here. We see the angel, the star falling from heaven. It reminds us of that verse in Isaiah 14 and 12. How are you fallen from heaven, Lucifer, son of the morning, the personification of an angelic being with spiritual powers. And unto it was given the key to the bottomless pit. So the first thing we see, we do not see a sovereign being. We do not see one person that had power, but actually power was given unto this fallen angel. And there we see the sovereignty of God, how he allows things like this. And we look at this here, abyss or the bottomless pit, depends on which translation you have. It was a place of imprisonment where Satan will be kept for 1,000 years during the millennium. Remember back in the book of Luke, chapter 8 and 31, remember the Gadarene demoniac, he had the legion of demons. And when the Lord came, they said, "What do we have to do with you, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High?" And then they said, "Please don't cast us into the abyss." And they asked to be cast into those swine, and they were cast into the swine, and then they ran off the hill and choked in the sea. In Revelation chapter 11 and verse 17, we see this beast ascending out of the abyss, out of this bottomless pit. Another one, it happens. And then in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 3, we see Satan chained and sent again to this bottomless pit. So this is a word that is used three times, at least in our book of Revelation that we're looking at tonight. And then I want to look at the imagery of the pit in verse 2. It says, "And he opened the bottomless pit, and there rose smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace, and the smoke of the air were darkened by reason and smoke of the sun." This reminds us of the wildfires in British Columbia. I remember when I lived in Vancouver, the whole city would be covered with smoke, and that was like a five-hour drive up to the Okanagan, and all that smoke would be blowing down. Up there, you couldn't even see to drive along the road. And so this whole idea of smoke, it's always the byproduct of the fire. So imagine the destruction that will be coming upon men. And whenever we think of fire, we think of pain, we think of torment. There's a place called the Lake of Fire, and there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. So these are tremendous images so that people might read this portion and repent, that they might turn to God. One thing, you know, sometimes when we're going through this, listen, as believers, we're not going through it. You and I that have trusted Christ are not going through this time. But we should have an understanding of these images and God's timetable. So when we talk to people, we're able to explain, this is what the future holds for you. If you're not saved, and it's interesting how people like futuristic movies and they like the zombies and all this here, world pandemics and all these outbreak and movies like this, and yet when it comes right down to it, they repented not. This is the image that the lesson that keeps on coming forward. So we see the influence, the imagery of the pit. It's infernal. The influence of the pit, it affects the earthly realm. There's a spiritual darkness. Remember back in Exodus chapter 10 when you had the plagues. One of the plagues was darkness. In Exodus chapter 10 and verse chapter 10, it says that the darkness could be felt. Imagine the feeling. Remember what it was like on Calvary's cross in those 3 hours of darkness? Well, here is a darkness, but there's something even worse. And Leonard, when he prayed tonight, he talked about the condition of the world. It's growing worse and worse and worse, and there's no turning back. Revelation 20, verses 2 and 3. And I wanted to think about this whole idea of what is happening here. And he laid hold upon the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed for a little season. It's interesting. God has his timetable. He always wants to give people a warning. And he's unfurling all his wrath upon humanity that they might turn to God, that they might turn from their sins. So here we have this here beast, beast that's released from the abyss in verse 1. And then 1,000 years later, we're going to have the same thing when Satan himself. And it's interesting how God wants to identify him. He's called the dragon, he's called the old serpent, he's called the devil, and he's called Satan. And each of these words have their own significance. One is the idea of accuser. The other is the idea of a liar. And then the inhabitants of the pit in verse 3, and there come out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given great power, as the scorpions of the earth have power, and it was commanded that they should not hurt the grass, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men that have the seal of God in their foreheads. Now, who are those that had the seal of God in their foreheads? Those 144,000 people. So the rest of the people were free game. So God is unleashing his wrath upon humanity. And yet these locusts, voracious insects that devour plants, compared to scorpions for their pain, and they are organized. Verse 12, it says they have a king, and they were in the bottomless pit, and then they're coming out. Now, it's interesting because Satan is going to be cast into that bottomless pit. It doesn't sound like a very nice place to be. And verse 5, we see this idea. that unto them was given that they should not kill, but that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was the torment of a scorpion, one that strikes a man. I don't know how many people here in this room have ever been attacked by a scorpion. Myself was. I was attacked on my honeymoon night. That was quite an awakening. My son Caleb, one night he was lying in bed and he got bit on the neck by a scorpion, and then he pushed it off with his hand, and then the scorpion stung his hand. They're not very nice animals. Your tongue all swells up. It's extreme pain. So I can testify, you do not want to hang around and be affected by these locusts that will have the sting of a scorpion. But the other thing is, these people were not killed. They were tortured. They were suffering pain. Well, the Bible says God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but he wants that all men might come to repentance. Verse 6, it says, in those days men shall seek death, and they shall not find it. They shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Now, when you think about this idea, Satan is a liar, and men want to commit suicide because they think that that is the way out. And I had a close friend, a friend that I worked with in the Coast Guard many years ago, and we had become friends. And it's interesting because his brother committed suicide. And we talked about that, and I shared the gospel with him. We hadn't seen each other for over 25 years and so on. And he had some gospel background. Somehow, he came in contact with the gospel, and we talked about that. And it's interesting, he ended his life in suicide. I was in El Salvador. He left a he phoned when I was down there and left and spoke to Veronica. And then when I got back home, I called him, and there was no answer. And he was gone. What a helpless feeling. Because you and I know the difference. That you do not die like a dog. You know, I was thinking about this whole idea. You know, when if one of our family members were killed, for example, Don was telling us of a story about a man that tried to kill a guy's wife and kids. Okay? So say he actually was successful. Now think about that. Would that man want retribution for that criminal? Of course he would want retribution. We as believers, we would want retribution. Unbelievers want retribution, but at the same time, they do not believe, or they say they don't believe, that there's life after death. There is life after death. God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world by this man, the Lord Jesus Christ. He has given us the assurance that he's raised him from the dead. God has the power to fulfill all that he has promised in his word. Verse 7, we're dealing with figurative creatures, I believe, in this verse. And the shapes of the locusts were like horses prepared on a battle. And on their heads were as it were. Do you see that word? As it were. So these are comparisons. These are, when you have the word as or like, you have, it's called a simile. Okay? So as it were, crowns like gold, and their faces were as faces of men. So another simile. And they had hair as the hair of women. What does that mean? Does that mean it was dyed hair? Does it mean they had curlers in it? What does it mean? Was it long hair? I think we know the answer to that. Their teeth were as the teeth of lions. I remember seeing, I remember when Caleb and Christy, they were small, and you know, some of the movies would come out like with the ants and things like that, and some of those big grasshoppers, those animated films and so on. And that's what the movie makers do. They go into the insect world. You know, I don't know if you've ever seen a flea that has been magnified, you know, 100 times. You know, we've all seen those pictures and bed bugs and all those things, and they're pretty scary looking, right? So here we have some imagery. When we look at those animals that are magnified by that, can you imagine that actual animal that big size coming after you? And here's what we have. So I don't know how this is all going to work. We have spiritual, like it is a spiritual battle. Like I said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So there is a battle going on. And in verse 9, it talks about the breastplates. Breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings were the sound of chariots and many horses running into battle. I remember reading, I think it was Hal Lindsey's book back in the day, and he talked about, even during the Vietnam War and so on, because he was writing in the 70s, and the Vietnam War just finished, and he was talking about helicopters and the big tail and the blade and the stinging and so on. And so these are graphic pictures. You have to remember that John is writing 2,000 years plus in the future. Okay, or it might not be plus because he wrote around 90 AD is when he wrote this book. So we're looking at but close to 2,000 years, and he has to describe these events for us. Verse 10, it says, they had tails like unto a scorpion, and they had stings in their tails, and the power was to hurt men 5 months. It's interesting because the lifespan of a locust is about 5 months. And remember, we're dealing with a period in the Great Tribulation of 7 years in total. The Bible scholars, they believe that the first three and a half are a peaceful time, a prosper time when the Antichrist rises to power. He gets people's confidence, and then he starts to unveil for himself for who he really is, and then the trials and tribulation start coming upon the world in that last time. Brother Don was speaking last week in chapter 8, but he made a reference to chapter 6, where 25% of the population were killed. 25%. The world's population at this time, is 7.87 billion people. So let's round it off to 8 million. Okay, so if we take 25% of 8 million, that's 2 billion. Okay, so that leaves 6 billion left. And then today, in the message tonight, we're looking at one-third. In the next section, we're going to look at one-third of them were killed. So that's reducing the population by 50% in this world. You know, they say our population here on the island is around 160,000 now. So you can imagine in this meeting, say we have 250 people. So that means 125 people are coming. So we're back what it's like in COVID times. About half of your children dead. One of your parents gone. It's hard to believe. One half of the world gone. And these things are... Some of these things will be the first cause of death were plagues and such, and this we have a very destructive army that's coming upon the world. Verse 11, it says, and they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name is in Hebrew Abaddon, and the Greek tongue his name is Apollyon. So those two words have been translated destruction and destroyer. So the inhabitants of the pit, they're intolerable, they're injurious, they're inescapable. Men can run where they want and they can seek death, but they will not find it. Imagine jumping off a bridge and surviving. And this is what will be happening to people, and they will be suffering more and more. But God seeks that they might call out to God in repentance and trust him. And then pushing on here, verse 12, it says, one woe is past, that's the fifth angel, and behold, there are two woes more, that's the sixth angel and the seventh angel. Verse 13, the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. Brother Leonard talked about this last week. The golden altar was, this is not the brazen altar of brass. This is the golden altar where actually the incense would be offered. Back in chapter 3, where Don spoke last week, it says, offered with the prayers of the saints upon the golden altar. Revelation chapter 6 and 10, they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, do you not judge and avenge our blood upon them that dwell upon the earth? So now the time has come. Their prayers are going to be answered. The people who were being killed in the tribulation, now their prayers are going to be answered. And vengeance will be falling upon them. Verse 14, we have the four angels that are being released. Now these are not good angels. The good angels are free to do what they want, but these angels were bound, and they were prepared for an hour a day and a month and a year. So it was God's timetable that these angels were released upon the earth, and they were released out of the Euphrates River. The Euphrates River is the river that divides the east from the west, and this army that's coming, this army from the east, from the east is coming, and it's a 200 million man army. In the year 2000, China were able to boast that we have an army of 200 million men. A lot of Bible scholars, they would say, well, this might be a spiritual army. It might be a physical army. We do not know, and I do not know. But one thing we know, that the destruction that they're going to lay upon men is going to be tremendously wicked. Verse 17 gives us a description of these horses and the vision and those that sat on them having breastplates of fire and jacinth and brimstone, and the heads of the horses where the heads issued fire and smoke and brimstone. And these three, a third part of the men were killed by this fire and by the brimstone, by the fire. So I want to think about their in verse 20. We see their arrogance. It says, and the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues repented not of the works of their hands, that they should worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. This reminds us of Psalm 115, where it says, they have hands that can't touch, they have eyes that can't see, they have ears that can't hear, and they have feet that can't walk. And then the last verse, we see their atrocities. We see their things they are guilty of is murder, sorcery, fornication, and of theft. It's interesting, in the year 2020, we have that great cry down in the south of the border, defund the police. You know that murder rates have gone up 25% in the last year. 25%. And last year, as they made their way across the U.S., it was burning and flames and destruction and robbery. That's what was in the hearts of men, and they went unpunished. It's unreal that we do not have authority to punish the evildoers. And when evildoers are not punished, they will carry on doing their wickedness. And then you have that word sorceries, from which we get a word pharmaceutical. So there was drug use that was involved. And then we have fornication, from which sexual immorality is, despite the evident wrath of God being poured upon the earth, these men were involved in the wickedness. And then we see theft was the last crime that they have done. And a lot of people nowadays, they say, well, this is a means to their survival. Listen, they have no other way to survive, so they are justified in stealing. So we'll just leave it open like that. I was supposed to be finished at 5 after. We rushed through that 5 after, so we have time for discussion and questions and suggestions and input.
Last week I mentioned the book by John Lennox on Have No Fear. Wayne's mentioned about the need to tell people about these things, and this is the book. If you have one or copy, see me. We can that you have a look at it, okay? And it'd be good to read this. Give you good practical guidelines how to approach people and to share the truth, all right? Now, the other thing I want to mention is about scorpion bites. It really is a terrible thing. My wife got bitten once in Zambia on the foot, on the toe. And the whole night she had to have a tent over her foot. We just touched even one of the hairs on her leg. Her whole leg would just jump. Just like when your leg falls asleep and you start moving it and it tingles. But it's 10 times worse than that.
Amen.
It's no joke. But this is something that's not just a single bite. It's 5 months of that. I mean, that's not just for one night, 24 hours was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Five months. That's just beyond my imagination. Terrible.
I was thinking in this chapter, it's perhaps a little hard to know where the literal flows into the spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look, for example, to the book of Daniel, and I think when you look at the book of Revelation, you have to compare it with all the other prophetic books, such as Daniel, Zechariah, Ezekiel, Isaiah, and so on. And in the other prophetic books, for example, in Daniel, you see different visions where animals occur. For example, in the four beasts of Daniel chapter 7, where these different empires are portrayed as ferocious beasts, especially the last one. And yet, we know that they represent empires, but at the same time, there is demonic activity inspiring that. And so, it is not a unique thing just to this chapter or the book of Revelation to portray judgment or activity on earth by activities of animals, because behind these human activities there are demonic powers, and I think that will be the worst period in the whole history of mankind is in that great tribulation, especially that last 3.5 years, and the demonic power will make the biggest difference, because men have done terrible things to one another, even the last century especially. But in this period of time, there will be not one period in all of history that will even come close to what will happen in this great tribulation, as also seen in this chapter.
Behind
all the activity of men, there is terrible demonic activity.
Yeah, I tend more to lead toward the 200 million man physical army, but empowered by the satanic powers, like Satan entered into Judas. Okay, so we see different ones that were empowered by Satan. The devil needs his instruments, his physical people, to carry out their wickedness, whether it was Charles Manson or whether it was Hitler or whoever. He uses people to do his dirty deeds.
And we know that this was written